But first, we turn to the debate over keeping guns out of the hands of violent domestic abusers. For years, Nevada has led the nation in the number of women killed by men with handguns. Those numbers improved slightly last year, with the Violence Policy Center ranking Nevada 16th in the country. But gun control advocates say Nevada's gun laws are out of date. They're lobbying for tighter controls to protect women from their husbands, boyfriends, or stalkers. Joining us is Lindsay Zwicker, a staff attorney with the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence in San Francisco. Lindsay Zwicker, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your organization and others are arguing that Nevada laws are behind the times. Case in point, individuals convicted of domestic violence misdemeanors can still buy and own guns. How would changing, for instance, that part of the law impact the number of gun deaths?
Well, it's a complicated issue, and there is no singular solution for domestic violence. But we do know from recent studies that when domestic abusers have guns, they are 5 times more likely to kill their victims. So given this fact, by preventing all domestic abusers from having guns, we can take steps toward meaningfully protecting women from gun violence.
So why aren't domestic violence offenders required to surrender their guns to authorities?
Some states like California and Connecticut have statutes that require any prohibited person to surrender their firearms to law enforcement or to a firearms dealer. States like Minnesota have recently passed legislation that established clear procedures for relinquishing firearms from domestic abusers. There isn't a similar statutory provision in Nevada, so there's no law in place that requires any abuser, or any violent criminal to surrender their firearms. So because of this provision, many domestic abusers who have been prohibited from having guns continue to have them and pose a risk to other women.
Nevada law is also passive on a couple of other points when it comes to protecting women from domestic violence. What are the other gaps you see in the state's law?
There's no clear and consistent process through which any convicted domestic abuser must surrender their firearms. And there's also a lack of universal background checks. In the state of Nevada, only federally licensed firearms dealers are required to conduct background checks for all gun purchasers. That means private sellers, sellers on the internet, sellers at gun shows are not required to conduct background checks. And because of this, many persons who are prohibited from possessing firearms, domestic abusers, can continue to, go through this loophole and purchase firearms and pose a risk to women.
Well, advocates have spoken for some time now of the idea of sensible gun laws to prevent violent, mentally ill people from having guns. But there's always that concern about stepping on Second Amendment rights to own firearms. How do you accomplish both?
And actually, this surprises some people, but it wasn't until 2008 that the Supreme Court actually said that there is a Second Amendment to keep a handgun in the home for self-defense. In that same case, the court said that the Second Amendment right is not an absolute one, that governments can restrict or prohibit access to guns by the dangerously mentally ill, by violent criminals. As I mentioned earlier, courts have been overwhelmingly favorable toward sensible gun laws. So, given the Supreme Court holding, given the pattern among court cases, we do know that governments can prohibit certain categories of people, like dangerous criminals, like dangerous domestic abusers, from having guns without violating the Second Amendment. And restricting gun access by these persons are very important toward protecting women from gun violence.
Lindsay Zwicker is a staff attorney with the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence in San Francisco. Lindsay Zwicker, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Plans to place any restrictions on gun ownership also have their critics. Las Vegas attorney Michael Giles of the firm of Creed & Giles is skeptical about the background checks, and he joins us now. Michael Giles, welcome.
Why, thank you for having me today.
You say that there are already restrictions in place for those convicted of domestic violence who want to own guns. What are those restrictions?
The federal law, most famously the Brady Act and the Violence Against Women Act, which were enacted in the early 90s, remove the right to possess firearms from anyone who is in a domestic relationship who's enumerated and convicted of domestic violence, a misdemeanor. While we had always had some restrictions on violent felons having firearms, this was really the first time that a simple misdemeanor conviction could take away a core constitutional right. And as such, it's had its detractors. And those restrictions are on the purchase and possession of firearms.
You're a gun owner. What are your concerns with proposed changes to the law?
The federal law enumerates family members, husbands, wives, and things of that nature. And society has moved forward, obviously, in the last 20 or so years. But the changes suggest that that wording, intimate partner, will be given the same meaning as in Section 2266, which leaves a vague and open-ended definition of what is a dating relationship. And it will be up to the judges in case by case to decide, is it long-term enough? Are the indicia of an intimate or romantic relationship there? And that could actually wind up taking away the gun rights of certain individuals who really didn't fall under the original intent of protecting women and men against domestic violence abusers.
You have heard statistics on how badly Nevada fares in terms of the domestic fatality rate. And if tightening gun restrictions tramples on the Second Amendment, where is there room for reform in how we protect these victims?
Certainly everyone agrees that we want to protect the victims of domestic violence. I'm a little concerned in reading through the Violence Policy Center's study that is being cited in all of the news articles I've read and have heard about on the radio and on television, because their data is skewed to support their position. Now, the Violence Policy Center is a very active anti-gun establishment that has worked very hard for years to restrict access to firearms. That is their position, and they're entitled to it. But when they present information, for example, in their study they said most of the women killed by men were killed by firearms, that's actually an oversimplification of the data. The actual number is a little over half. How many of those individuals, whether they used a firearm or some other tool, were already prohibited from possessing firearms or were already a convicted violent criminal? Without that data in there, we really can't determine the impact restricting firearms for the general population would have.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, are you ultimately saying that the solution lies in enforcing the laws that we already have in the books?
I certainly agree that we need to enforce those laws. The real challenge is an individual who has made a decision to violate the law will not be stopped by the inclusion of the words intimate partner into the Violence Against Women Act or the Lautenberg Amendment. They won't be stopped because of a background check. They'll find a means or a method to come into possession of that firearm. I'm a firm believer that firearms are a net positive in society over the negative aspects. They are an equalizer for women who tend to be smaller and physically weaker than their attackers.
Michael Giles is an attorney with the Las Vegas firm of Creed and Giles. Mr. Giles, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.